following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show, the cyber version. I have my guest, as usual, on Sunday cyber versions of this show, the Be a Planner Show, Mr. A.I. Nguyen. Nguyen, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Very good. Very good. Just tired. This tax deadline is weighing heavy on us old CPAs, but we're going to get through it. So anyway, I don't think I've got an agenda for today. I'm going to let you drive the discussion. There's plenty of stuff going on out there, and I'm sure you'll pick two or three items that are of note, but I'll let you take over.
Well, today I want to talk about several things, like ransomware. So, you know, now that we have everything going on right now, so the enemy are taking advantage of it. What we're doing right now, so we got to be very careful, you know, everything's going on in our country right now, so they are taking advantages.
Boy,
yeah.
You said that right. Everything.
So then we talk about insider threat, you know, all kind of stuff too. So there's a lot of stuff we can talk about, but another bonus one I want to talk is about efficiency, about pizza, you know.
And efficiency.
Efficiency.
Of...
What does it have anything to do with pizza? You know how you take
take
advantage of technology.
I thought you had come up with a new acronym for
So anyway. You know, let's talk with the latest ransomware. There's a new one that's come out, and this time it's getting smarter and getting. I'm telling you, like it, and the company called the Hunter International shift from ransomware to pure data extortion. So basically, they don't encrypt your data anymore. So basically, because it takes too long, so they need a key system. So basically, they get your data, get a few data, uploaded it to their portal, and they extort you. You don't do it, we release it. And it just right now, it just happened like this. The bad guy called the Hunter International Ransomware. That's another one's ransomware as a service. It's a system, you know.
Wow.
And you know, they are used by, when you're talking about, there are three types of attack, right? There's the first one is called the commodity. Commodity is basically you go to the port, you go to the darknet, you buy the software, and then you attack people, right? You attack company. And then you have,
so they white label it for
The white label for you. That's good. I like the analogy. Yeah. So you can go there, you buy them, and then you actually, as a service, you can hack people to do your own. And then another one called 0-day. You know that one, right? Hmm. 0-day is the most dangerous, but they mostly use, they're very complicated and very comprehensive to create it. And let's see here. So therefore, they use it, but they don't use it until last minute. The 0-day is usually sponsored by the state actor or government. And the third one is called control and command type of attack. So basically, it's a process. It's a ransomware as a service. So it involves a multiple group. And I'll give you one example. It's not like one person, but a group of people. Like if the Chinese try to attack us and they don't speak the language, they also hire somebody to speak the English, the language, multiple language. You have a group of people, one group to do the reconnaissance, the other group to do the deployment of the payload, and another group do the payment system, and another group call the encryption part. Mm-hmm. You see, very complicated. But right now what we see is the multiple of everything, because right now our country is in the, you know, go through a changes, and you see all the tariff thing like that. And I see the upbeat of these ransomware. And you got to be careful. If you visit out there, you need to be careful what you click on. And you must have a good backup. And here's another one, Avanti. A zero-day exploit. Now, Avanti is it's a company that released an update for their it's one of the VPN stuff, the VPN company. And they just released it, another one, because they found out that the Chinese has exploited the one of the code, the VPN software. See? And this happened right now, at this week. Everything hit all at once. Then here's another thing, too. Oh, man, it's all over the places. You got everything that pop up all at once in the past few days. So you got to be careful what you click
on. How about the administration's firing of General Timothy, what is it, Howe? Is that how you say his name? The four-star general was serving as the head of both, I believe it's NSA and U.S. Cyber Command. Is that a big deal, or is that just, you know, he's a figurehead and the real troops are in the trenches, so to speak, so it won't really have an effect?
Well, you know, the administration, I mean, this country is more like a centralized from the top, but decentralized down the bottom. So even if you fire one person on the top, the bottom still work. So that's the beauty about our country, you know, our
doctrine. I mean, you would think with all the layers of overhead we have, we'd have a similar level of expertise that's layered in, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I don't know. The left, the Democrats, are trying to make it sound like it's the end of the world, and the reality is it's probably an extra $300,000 or $400,000 a year that we can hire, you know, two or three people that, you know, will provide more than adequate.
See, so this is the problem that I see most of the company. They treat the security as a project but not a process.
Right.
Like, hey, you know what, we got hacked, we bring this guy in, we fix it, let's go on the next one. We'll be fine. But that's not all. I mean, that's not it. I mean, you got to look at it from a different view. First, you have to look at it from threat intelligence, meaning threat hunting, you know, versus the you're not going to wait until it happens. You see something out there, and then you have to assume the worst-case scenario, and from there, you do a threat hunting within your system. I'm not talking about pen testing.
It's almost how we've handled things at the highest echelons of the defense industry, right? I mean, look at how it's just unimaginable that some of the stuff has happened and we didn't even know. You look at like the balloon, you know, the Chinese were floating over our country forever. And some of the other stuff, it's like, you know, we act like we didn't even know, you know, and I don't know, maybe we didn't. But this is a little
more
pervasive.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what to think anymore. I don't know how we think, because basically I don't even trust what our government tell us anymore.
Right.
They don't think we should know. They think what we need to know basis, basically. They treat it like need to know basis.
Right.
And basically they don't tell us anything. But right now I'm telling you, like, if you look at one of the things too, like I have a lot of calls from all of a sudden I have a lot of call from oil and gas company.
Uh-huh.
And they're talking about insider threats. And the thing is, so I ask them, you know, what exactly are you looking for? Most of them looking for, well, we don't know our weaknesses is. We don't know. So I said, you have perimeter security. And they said, yes, we do. So what do you mean by insider threat? Well, they're talking about not just there's two type of people, right? There's the intentionally and unintentionally, but he's more referring to like espionage. So you have to look at it from the point of your weaknesses. And I tell people, most people say you wait until the virus to hit, then you say, you know what, we have our system, we have our instant response, and we know what to do. Say, no, you're not going to wait until it hit, and you open your instant response book, and then the playbook. No, you're looking for threats. What does it mean? You don't need to find the bad guy. You find your weaknesses, and the bad guy you will find. So you need to scan your weaknesses, you know? Here's another thing, too. There's a new article, Urgent Need for Resilient Industrial Cybersecurity Professional. See, it's the upbeat. Everybody needs it now. I'm talking about, you know what a SCADA network is?
A what network?
SCADA network.
Like
SCADA
network. S-C-A-T?
It's a S-C-A-D-A. So,
oh, okay. No, I don't know.
So let me see. What?
Excuse me.
Yeah. So basically, it's a supervised control and data acquisition. So like your water utility, your manufacturer, your oil and gas, your transportation, basically your chemical plant and all those stuff. So it's just supposed to be separate from enterprise network. It's separately. But now we get into the population of growing, our technology is growing. We integrate that. I think like 5 years ago, they start to integrate. Now, maybe 7 years ago, they integrate that into, they combine the enterprise and SCADA network together. So what does that mean? That means usually SCADA network is static. It is completely off from enterprise, but now it's touching the enterprise. That means it can be hacked easily. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
They can shut our utility down. They can shut our oil and gas down, our transportation. You think of that. Just like the movie, you know, Bruce Willis, like 20 years ago, it become a reality. I'm telling you, it's come reality. They are hacking us, and they are just sitting there like a sleeper cell. That's what a lot of oil and gas companies are worried.
Yeah.
So with this, everything's going on. Then you have the Iran, you have the Houthis, and you got the tariff. That's another thing. So everything hit all at once. On top of that, here's the problem. You're going to see the massive layoff too, right? And they're going to let go a lot of people. That means you leave your guard down. At the same time, they're going to hit you where it's hurt.
Well, a lot of those people could have some hard feelings, right? So,
but that's not the one I'm talking about. The people I'm more concerned about is state sponsor actors. You know that they can hit us. This is a good time for them to hack us. I would.
Yeah.
You know. So, anyway, I want to talk about ransomware and how does it work. Real quick. They're a process, right? So for our user out there, you know, for non-techie, basically, you know, the first step is called infection. So basically, you click on the link that they sent you. The moment you do that, okay, the two things can happen. Nothing can happen. You're not going to see anything because it's going to wait there. It's going to sit there. And then when the time comes, it's going to encrypt all your files. And then the next morning, when you check into your office, as you say, hey, you know what, I cannot open my file anymore. Then the ransom note would come up and say, you need to pay this for us to unlock it. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's how it worked. So what?
And is this true of the RAS model, the ransomware as a service, as well as a standalone?
The standalone is it doesn't encrypt everything all at once, and you probably have a key to unlock it. The individual one I'm not worried about, and I don't see a lot of them. The one that I see is called a ransomware for a service because it's using bot, right? And you can get them from commodity from the darknet yourself. You can do it yourself, so you can buy the whole package, okay? And you do yourself. If you say you decide just to hack the United States, then you don't need another languages, right? But if you if you are not a coder, right, you may hire somebody to help you with the encryption piece of it, like the key system. It's not going to come out of the box. It's going to need somebody to tweak it, to make it happen. But if you have the setup like the web filter, okay, so even though that they can hack it, but it won't get out. It won't go up there to get the key. So you still can block it from the web filter. So they can encrypt it, but they cannot lock it. So that's most companies are doing this right now called Zero Trust Network. Okay? The Zero Trust, basically, network, you probably heard the term, right?
Sure.
Zero trust means trust no one, verify all technology. You know, like back then, the technology that you have, you assume the insides are good and the outsides are bad, right?
Yeah.
The zero trust network assumes everybody's inside, outside, treat everybody the same. So basically, the way it's set up, you hire your IP address, you hire your network internally. So just think of this way. Like you have a security guard everywhere you go. If I give you access to your accounting software, you cannot access your accounting software. You cannot pivot it to access my other file network. So basically, that's control. That's zero trust network. And T-Mobile just implemented that concept. I mean, that technology too. And the governments are doing that too. You limit your surface attack by hiding all your network. Zero trust.
It's kind of the reverse of single sign-on, it sounds like.
Well, the single sign-on is that's a technology to sign in. Like, you look at this way. You have your network at your office, for example, your server, like most people. On top of that, you have Office 365. Then you have your Google Drive and things like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you have the cloud, and then you have your premise network. If I attack your cloud, okay, then I can pivot back to your network, to your on-prem network. Guess what happened? I can attack both. But if you set up a zero trust network, just because you can access my cloud doesn't mean you access my premise on-prem network or vice versa. Control, okay? Basically, if I go to your house, right, to your house for party, you have one room for the party only for the dance floor. Then you have the kitchen. But that doesn't mean you can go to my bedroom. There's a lock. Everywhere you go, mm-hmm. authenticate. That's where the single sign-on. That's what you're talking about. So you sign in, you can only go to certain places I want you to go. That's control.
I see.
But here's the thing, though. For the user who uses Gmail, I have one client, okay, last week, all of their account has been compromised. Their Google Drive, their photo, their pictures, all their banking, and now they find out all their access, like Amazon, their cryptos, and somebody tried to use their credit card, and they're using it because you do not use two-factor authentication.
You have to. I mean, that's the minimum.
Yeah,
within the Google
space. But it's not good enough. Today, I want to tell you, you need to use a token. You know what the token is? Google called a token.
Yeah, you've shown me. You mean a physical hardware.
The physical hardware with a fingerprint, yeah. Right? You plug it in and you touch your fingerprint. So what's so good about that? I'll give you an example. Even if you have my username and my password and you go to China, you go to somewhere out or Europe, you try to log in, without my token, you cannot access. That's a physical hardware.
What about, I know with, you know, I've got a MacBook that has a fingerprint ID, a biometric.
But that
is that's not quite the same.
No, it's not the same.
Physical token.
That is to log into your system, to log into your Mac. But
well, it'll log me in. I have it for Gmail, Google Drive, everything mentioned. But
that's not good enough. Anyway. That only for your desktop at that location. Your Gmail, if I know your username and password, I still try to hack. And guess what? You think two-factor authentication is safe? Not necessary.
Well,
because they can redirect. They can redirect. They can figure out how to defeat two-factor authentication. You need a hardware. You need like an access card, right? A physical card. What does it mean?
Yeah.
The physical card is what you have. Then you type in your PIN number is what you know. The fingerprint is who you are. Multi-factor authentication.
See.
You see what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
Is non-repudiating. So in case something happened, you say, I did not do it. Yes, that's your fingerprint, right? And if something, and also too, they cannot access your file without the fingerprint, without the token.
Well, on a practical basis, how many large companies, or maybe I should say it the reverse, how many small companies, where do you see compliance with, if a company says, hey, we're going to that token and you're either going to carry that around or you're not going to work for us? How many companies can take that strong of a position to get, because it's a pain in the butt, you know? I mean, I've had tokens before.
Actually,
it's one thing when you're talking about logging into your bank account, you've got the little RSA token, mm-hmm. or it's another if you're doing Google Authenticator. That's not bad.
Well,
but you're talking about a physical, like a USB mm-hmm. inserted piece of hardware.
But
correct?
You only do one time. For example, you only authenticate one time for that PC that you use. Yeah. No. For
okay.
Give an example. You use it on your laptop. That's it, right? You carry your laptop with you. You pick and you don't need to use that again because from there you create the pass key, meaning the 4-digit to log in on that desktop. You only do one time to log into your desktop.
Oh, I see.
Your laptop. Then you put that token away. Okay. The objective is not for you to log in every day because you can set up the passkey to do that, like 4-digit key to log in. The objective is if somebody uses your username and password to log in your Google account away from another country, another region, they cannot access without the token.
I see.
Right?
I see.
So it helped a lot.
Well, that's not so bad.
No. So that's right now you need to take control. A lot of people are not taking advantage of situation, and I tell you, 1 hour spend time setting that up is a lot better than,
Does it really take an hour for people that know what they're doing, like you? Or
no, take me 5 minutes.
Just lay people.
Take me 5 minutes. You plug it in, then you fingerprint it, and then you put in your username and password. Well, you log it in, and it say, hey, it recognized the thumb drive, right? And then Google will come up and say you have the passkey, and you just install it, follow the instruction.
And the passkey is only 4 digits? That doesn't
seem
very secure.
No. Once you set up everything, so you got your Gmail, you log in, and then you set up your thumb drive, you set up your password, right? And once that is done, you unplug your key, so now your computer is authenticated, okay? And when you walk away, you have a lock screen. Then you set up your passkey. You hit it. It's to make it easy for you. Then you just put in your PIN number and you're accessing it. Okay?
Nice.
But at least your computer at that point is secure. It just make it easy for you. It's just like a Microsoft, like using your eyes, hello, to log in.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, do any of the token devices marry the Face ID with thumbprint? I mean, is it any multi-factor, so to speak, where it's combined, or is it simply?
You mean like
independent factors?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of companies are using. A lot of company are you notice how you log in and they give you, you want to create a username or password, or you use a Google sign in. Okay.
Right.
Once you use a Google sign in. And Google automatically asks you, you put your username and password, you put your username and password. They're going to ask you, you know what? Put in your key. You see what I'm going at? Once you put in your key and your key has a thumb drive, your fingerprint, then it will authenticate. And that's it, one time. Now you log in to that PC, to that login. And then you set up the pass key next time. Does that make sense?
Kind of. I'm just not clear on how often you're having to do which of these.
You don't have to. One time. If you have a multiple laptop, each laptop you need to authenticate with a key one time. And then from there on, you just use your username and password.
So the key, even though it may only be 4 digits, there's other layers to this technology
The key, after you put in your username and password, you put in a token, your fingerprint, then you set up the pass key. You talk about three time, right?
Well, but what's the not referring to a token. You know, Google and Microsoft, mm-hmm. all of them are using this type of pass key where you don't have to do it, but they tell you to write it down, which mm-hmm. to me is the stupidest thing you could do.
No,
but
yeah.
Because if you lose it, you're hosed mm-hmm. later,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference in those type of passkeys?
No, that's not what I'm talking about. You still need a token. That's where you use a token. For example, username and password, like Google will have a password management within their Chrome, right? The Chrome, right?
Right.
So every time when you use it, what's your passkey? It's not going to, you still need to put in your code to get in, okay, or your token. But this is what the world we live in today, my friend. Inconvenient, but safe, safer.
Yeah, well, there's no question there's a price to pay, but all the inconvenience pales in comparison to the even mm-hmm. just one time where you're locked out, and maybe forever. You may not be able to ever get back.
So right now, I'm trying to help one of the client that he had to recover each one, so he had to call all the bank, even though it's going to be worth like, he doesn't have to pay for it. But the thing is, the hassle that he has, now he knows they got all his stuff from Google Drive. Imagine that.
Yeah.
So now he set it up, but it's already happened. So now he have to worry about whatever it comes, he have to defend it. So somebody going to say, you know what, did you send it? Did you get this? Did the bank call him? Did you do this? It's going to be a hassle in a year. He's about to find out.
Yeah.
You know, the afterward is not good. And, you know, now we're kind of sidetracked a little bit. We talk about the insider threat, you know, and it's the same thing. If you have a house and you have a business, what is the organization need to multi-layer defense strategy to mitigate the insider threats effectively? Well, first, you got to have a strong control base, principle, at least privilege, access control. That's what we were just talking about, right? Right? And mm-hmm. also security training for employees or yourself or your family. And then monitor user activity. Okay? And we talk about strengthening identity security, multi-factor authentication. And on top of that, you know, develop a dedicated insight that mitigate what is your mitigation plan. Something happened. Okay? Get them all ready. Something happened. Print it out. What needs to be done. Put everything into the vault. Anyway, when we take a break later, I don't know when you want to take a break now. I want to talk about the pizza, how AI is affecting us.
Yeah, this is a good time. Why don't we go ahead and take a break, and we'll circle back here momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner Show, the cyber version, with Nathan Ross and my guest, Mr. AI Wynn.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-782-1900. That's 713-782-1900. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com. That's Nathan at npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll
and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control and make demands. Look like a woman, think like a man, be as good as or better than. Gotta woman up and take it like a man.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be a Planner show, the cyber version.
All right.
We've been discussing ransomware and several other related topics with Mr. AI Nguyen. And Nguyen, before we get started, it occurred to me that I didn't really get through the disclaimer at the top of the show. And I just I know a lot of people join the show thinking or not ever knowing whether we're going to be talking about real estate taxation or retirement planning, because we do bounce around on Sunday a bit. But in any event, I just want to remind you that our core mission at Be a Planner is helping you understand what you're signing up for if you're thinking of or already invested in real estate private partnership syndications, primarily multifamily. And that market is coming out of the deep freeze as of late. We've got various and assorted new transactions, but there's still a lot of distress in the market on the debt side, and that's what is creating some current opportunities, but that also is accompanied with some landmines, if you will, in terms of some of the history of these deals that have gone awry. So if you don't understand the overall math metrics or the lingo or the history on certain parts of the country or certain syndicators, you may want to consider engaging with us, and we will be more than happy to help you understand what you're signing up for to the extent we know it or can learn it. And it's a wonderful potential in terms of the above average rates of return. And at the same time, it's there's been some really bad outcomes in the last couple of years. But anyway, so if you need help, go to our website at baplanner.com. That's baplanner.com. And go to the forms link at the top right. And just even the first form on that page, step one, form one, the client profile will give us enough information that we can have a phone call with you, which you can schedule right next to the forms link. You'll see a call link, and happy to spend a few minutes with you analyzing your current situation and determine how we might or if we might be able to help you. So anyway, Nguyen, let's go ahead and pick back up. We're pivoting to...
Welcome back. Another deep dive. So, well, you know how we talk about artificial intelligence, right? Everybody, that's the word, artificial intelligence, right?
So, right.
So today we're looking at how...
Unless you're Apple, then it's
still
baking.
How do we take advantage of that AI today? So today we're going to go looking at how business can leverage technology, AI, to really thrive. And we got an interesting jump-off point for this. We're going to talk about talking about pizza. Sound delicious, right? Pizza.
Yeah,
that's
indeed.
Right. Pizza story time. So we're using pizza story time as our source material today. So let's jump into this and see where this takes us, shall we?
You bet.
Okay, it's gonna be a good one. So. The question is, how can pizza shop really teach us anything about using technology to optimize our business? You know, so a lot of people don't think about this, right? So it all comes down to data. Even seemingly like insignificant detail, but you know, imagine you're running a busy pizza place. You're tracking the number of pizza you're selling every day. How much pepperoni you're ordering from your supplier, you know, pretty basic metric, right? But what if you could go deeper with the data? Like, let's say you analyze your pepperoni usage per pizza. How much pepperoni goes into pepperoni pizza versus a pizza where pepperoni is just one topping? You know what I'm talking about? If you have a pizza, Nathan, you order three pieces.
Yeah.
The first piece got three slices of pepperoni. I mean, three pieces of pepperoni. Another piece, you may have two. And the other guy have five. So we don't think about it. If I ask you, if you own a pizza place, this guy, I walk into a restaurant and I ask him, how many pizzas you sell a day? He said, oh, we sell like 50 or 60. Then I said, how many pepperoni you sell? Oh, pepperoni, we sell about 10 or 20. Okay, how many is mixed pepperoni and beef? He said, maybe 10. The more you ask about it, the more that he doesn't know how to track it down.
Right.
Okay? So they call it like pepperoni roulette, right? So anyway, that sort of inconsistency, what I'm talking about, it actually is a symptom of like a large efficiency in most business. And since you're the CPA and you're a financial advisor, and I think that a lot of people say, how, if you don't know your data, if you cannot keep track of that, it's like saying even your pizza place, you know, the good doing business, you could lose money if you don't pay attention to this detail, right? So
yeah.
The question is, now I'm going to sidetrack. I'm going to go sidetrack a little bit, okay? McDonald's, okay? How did they do it? McDonald's using is the power of optimization, right? They use technology. So every time when people say, McDonald's, what's the secret sauce? Well, I think the secret sauce is actually their meticulous application technology in every single stage of their business. They have this sophisticated supply chain management software that they use to make sure their ingredients are always sourced from the same supplier. So they're always getting, you know, consistently quality. Imagine that. So if you can also use predictive analytics to anticipate demand and optimize your inventory. See, McDonald's, the same McDonald's you sell in Houston, same in China, sell in Vietnam, is the same. If you have the procedure standardized down all to the second, right? So that's why, right. I want to use, how do you leverage technology? I use the pizza because, and McDonald's, you know, they use it. They're so consistent. You can, one person gets sick, they can hire another person right away. Everything is, and in that technology, you can use AI really to take advantage to optimize your business. Okay. So I have this law firm, right? What I did is I using ChatGPT and a chatbot that I created it. The artificial intelligence that when you go to their website, this thing going to pop up and talk to you like humans. That's technology. And also take down all your phone numbers, your contact, and the attorney will call you back. That's technology.
Yeah.
So the question is for our listener today, are you leveraging technology in your business? You know, with especially AI, if you don't, you know, it's not just a not just like doing business to reshape your industry, but also, you know, that could be the end. Look at Blockbuster, right? What happened to the Blockbuster? They let Amazon take over, and Border, they let Netflix take over, right? So that's why I want to kind of a little off topic related about pizza, but it's all related to AI technology. So McDonald's used technology to optimize supply chain inventory and cooking process to ensure consistent. So McDonald's
it's pretty amazing.
So
it's pretty amazing how they do it. It's just as bad here in Thailand as it is in America.
Right. So it's a system.
But you know what? Mm-hmm. They do a better job of that than, say, Taco Bell, which we've also got here in Bangkok.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you know, McDonald's is one of those things where, you know, if that's the only thing you have to choose from, you could pretty much go that route for one meal. You might not eat there again for quite a while.
Did you see how they cook the fry? They have the timer technology. They get it down to the science. Like, you put the fry down. I watched them. They put the fry down for 15 seconds, and 30 seconds they bring it up. Everything is all technology. You don't have to think. The worker don't have to think. You just look at the timer. Yeah. You put it in a hamburger. You flip it. It's a process that they're doing. They're using technology. So every time when you talk about technology, people say it's a real estate. But you know what? But also just look at how they work on it. What I'm trying to, the message here is take advantage of AI. If you don't, it could be the end of. It's not just
It certainly will wring out inefficiency, typically.
Yeah.
In the process.
So that's why today I brought in the pizza in AI. Just got to throw that in. Oh, by the way, have you ever heard of the company called Perplexity? It's like ChatGPT, but called Perplexity.
Perplexity? Yeah. I have. I'm trying to think who it's affiliated with. Who's the producer, developer?
Well, I forgot the name, but it's still using, the bottom line is still using the backends to ChatGPT source. But the performance... I'm telling you, I don't use Google anymore. It's so fast and so accurate.
Huh.
Yeah.
Faster than DeepSeek, right?
DeepSeek is a conversations, right? This one is a search engine. That's why I said Google should be worried. So when I log in today from a different computer, guess what? And I use Google as a source to log in, right? It asks for my key. Without my key, it won't log in. But luckily, I bring my key, my thumb key, and I just plug it in, and it recognizes it. So this thing is not just used for Google software to answer your question previously. You also use for other applications as well. If you use Google to log into your other application, does that make sense?
Yeah.
So now I see everything on my Perplexity that I have before, because I'm using Google to log in, and I'm using the key fab to log in with the fingerprint. So try Perplexity, and you will see how fast it is. You can search almost any topic, the content, and look at this. It's fast.
Well, there's a lot of
the too many, right?
Well, no, there's a lot of OpenAI influence on Perplexity, Meta. Bezos has put a bunch of money into it, so...
Everybody put money into it.
I don't know. The issue, I mean, this stuff is literally warp speed.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, it's hard to figure out where to grab on. Because, it's not like you don't have to spend some time to get proficient with these different models, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I mean, the folks that are developing, I know... I look at some of the hardware that's out there now, and Mac's got a Mac Studio product that literally
Adobe,
is a $15,000-$20,000 machine. Yeah, Adobe's big in that space, but it's crazy the hardware. That Mac Studio is two M3 Ultra chips bonded together, back to back or top and bottom, and 512 gigabytes of RAM is what you can spec that machine out to.
Well,
and apparently, it's just unbelievably fast.
I can tell you that ChatGPT just came out. Now you can do, before it's just a conversation, you cannot do graphics or video, right? Well, guess what? Mm-hmm. ChatGPT would come out. They can do image now. From text to image. And not only that, it doesn't misspell anymore. So before the graphic, they're not there yet, but today they are there. And I'll send you some photo. It can do brochure for you. Basically, I demonstrate the restaurant. I take some photo from the restaurant food, from the food that I order. Then I take the name of the restaurant. I said, ChatGPT, combine all this photo and create the, what's that noise?
That's an alarm going off on my...
So, combine those three photos and create a newsletter or a brochure for me. Boom. It did just like that. And it's amazing. You think this brochure, like professional, like GQ, like Vogue, is incredible. Okay? But it still have some... The problem is too fast. Everything is moving too fast. Right? But you just have to keep up with it. And there's so many of them out there. So many out there. So that's a lot of people have a problem. But as far as security, AI played a major role. Now they can attack you with a force of a million times. Think about that. Like thousands of hackers attacking you at the same time using AI.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Perplexity, try it. I think you may like it.
Yeah, I think I've read some good stuff about it. I may need to, everything I use pretty much is in the Google space, and naturally it just makes it so easy.
But I mean,
there's
just
no reason.
Yeah, so
you know,
I this is what I use for myself. I use OpenAI, and I also use Perplexity for search.
Is Perplexity yet made it to one of the half dozen or so search engine browser or search engine?
They're getting there.
That you can default in your browser.
No, this is actually an app on your website.
Okay.
Yeah. So, back to the question, we're talking about Apples, right? When was the last time you see Apple innovate anything? I mean, when Steve Jobs died, I think they may be in trouble. I have not seen anything beside the phone.
Well, yeah. Their silicon has been nothing short of remarkable. I mean, when you look at the technical benchmarks and whatnot, and, they don't sell it to anybody, so they don't have to compete. Mm-hmm. With someone else using what's their most innovative technology. I mean, it's this bonded ultra version of the M3 is just unbelievable. And, they released the Mac Studio with the M3, the bonded M3 Ultra as its top end spec, even though simultaneously they came out with the M4 Max.
But that performance.
Think about that.
But that performance, speed. But what else beside performance?
Well, I don't know, because the people that buy these things are looking for the maximum number of cores, mm-hmm. and video decoders, and so it's a little bit. I mean, you and I are not the target, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's for heavy duty content developers.
You know,
the
when
speeds it can
Steve
render
Jobs,
just amazing.
Steve Jobs has a vision, and I think that he always learned from Andy Grove. You know who Andy Grove is? The old Intel.
Yeah. Yeah.
And everybody learned from Andy Grove is the power, yeah. And Steve Jobs learned from after he came back from Apple. And I think if you look at, he said, if you're going to build something, you build it for the mask. If you look at the pyramid, right? You look at the pyramid. You don't want on top of the pyramid. Those people are very few to buy stuff from you. You want the one down the bottom to buy stuff from you.
Yeah. Well, it's more the Walmart model at the bottom.
They all learn. I mean, you talk about Steve Jobs. Yeah. You talk about Bill Gates. They all, and even Facebook. They learn. And I'll give you one example. Steve Jobs used, before they famous for iPod, right? Right. The music iPod, right? And that's it, right? In 2007. What did they do? They combined the iPod with the phone. You get the music, the phone, and the browser, and no keyboard together as one, right?
Yeah.
And ever since that, what happened? It blew up, right? That's his vision. You make it easier, and you combine.
Yeah, there's things that Jobs would have actually been an impediment to Apple's success had he stayed in place. And I'll just give you one example. He would not have tolerated Samsung doing what they did, where they knocked off, a lot of the patent stuff with Apple. And, after Jobs passed away, the then leadership, including Cook, pretty much said, hey, let's not beat them over the head. Let's join them and let's benefit from both companies' technology. And that really was a smart play because of everything they've benefited from. Hey, when we're getting towards the end of the show, we got a couple minutes left, but I just wanted to make sure everybody knew. I'm sure there in Houston, y'all know that the Houston Cougars won last night. Duke.
Yeah, that's right.
And so now they're in the final game of this year's Final Four on Monday night. And what an amazing accomplishment. And they didn't do it where they led the whole game. No, they were down like 12 points, I believe, or 12 or 13 points with maybe 3 minutes left or some small number. And I tell you what, it was a combination of them applying an extra gear, if you will, and then Duke didn't play up to their norm. But, that's what happens. You get in big games and you find out what your team's made of. And I'll tell you what, those Cougars are something else, and let's hope that they do as well against Florida, their opponent in the final. But, you know, for us old Cougar alumni, including Mr. A.I. Wynn, I believe, right, Wynn?
Yeah,
you,
I'm
you
a
went
Cougar.
To U of H.
Yeah.
And we were out there during the Phi Slamma Jamma days. And
I still remember those days.
It's just amazing. I've got a guest at our property. Of course, we're totally booked out on events like this. But one of the guests, well, several of them are in from Florida. And I was talking to one of them. This was before they played, let's see, didn't they just play Auburn, I believe? They knocked them out, or they knocked them out of the tournament. But I haven't talked to her since the game last night. But, you know, she said, you know, we always loved Guy Lewis and the Houston Cougars, and we just felt so bad that they didn't win at least one of those three they were in. And I tell you what, I have a good feeling. Of course, I've had a good feeling three times before, and I'm just hoping that they put on a show. And even Hakeem Olajuwon was there last night, so I think he smells success as well. And I tell you what, that will be so awesome for the city of Houston and the Cougar alumni such as Wynn and myself. Mm-hmm. But anyway, well, Wynn, let's go ahead and wrap it up. We've got about a minute for any parting thoughts here.
So just be aware, be alert.
2 minutes.
Yeah, be aware, be alert, what's going on, and ready for the next round of the tariff. I don't know what's going to happen, but I think we all feel the pain.
Well, you know, I don't know. I support the concepts of a level playing field, and we don't have it, and I suggest that we do whatever we need to get it. And at the end of the day, I'll tell you something we do have. We've got I believe it's a $7 trillion market that other people around the world want to sell their products in. I don't know of anybody else that can say that. And I say we protect America's interests, because over the years, you know, we've accumulated $40 trillion roughly in debt. That's just the current budgetary cycle.
Yeah.
That doesn't count the $150 trillion that we've also signed up for down the road. And in large measure, it's because we've let the rest of the world make money on our markets without us getting fairly compensated. Mm-hmm. So anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, there's the music. We're at the end of the show. We'll be back on Friday at 11 a.m. right here on KSEV AM 700. Wynn, thank you for joining me, and thank you, the listener, for tuning in.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.